This morning I'd like us to turn to Psalm 27, which is a psalm of David, and we'll read this short psalm together. Verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to that reading of his word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27 begins like Psalm 23 with a compound name of Yahweh, Jehovah. In Psalm 23 it's the Lord my shepherd. In Psalm 27 that we've just read, it's the Lord my light, Yahweh Ore, the Lord light, or the Lord is light, the Lord our light. And this is something that I believe we find in the New Testament, in the pen of John, 1 John 1 and 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What's the function of light? Well, we often forget that it's life-giving. I'm thinking now of the plants in our world. They use light in a process called photosynthesis. And that's largely responsible for producing and maintaining the oxygen in the Earth's atmosphere and how important that is to life. But also, light illuminates what was once hidden by darkness. Like me, you probably have heard over and over again about the great discovery by Harold Carter of Tutankhamun's tomb in the Valley of the Kings in Egypt. And he had opened up many an empty and ransacked tomb in his days of discovery as an archaeologist. But one day he makes a small hole into a chamber. And all there is, of course, on the other side of the wall is darkness. And then when he shines the torch in, what a discovery! It illuminates what was hidden by darkness, hidden for millennia. And light does that. It also dispels fear. I can remember as a child walking down from my granny's house down to our own, and maybe at 8:30 at night. And I can remember walking down Armstrong Drive or Armstrong Avenue, and it was all rows of terraced houses, and in between two or three of them then there was what I would describe as an entry. And I was terrified at night walking past those entries. Because of the dark, I couldn't see what was lurking there. My imagination was doing overtime. But through the day, it didn't cost me a thought. Why? Light dispels fear. And also, light enhances beauty. Like me, you've maybe gone on holiday and it has been a later flight, and you're checking into your hotel maybe at 11:30 in the evening, and all is darkness, and you're walking to your room down past the pool, but everything's black and grey, and there's just nothing to encourage you. But the next morning, everything's completely different. Light enhances beauty. Now, all of these things are also true of the Lord our light in a spiritual sense. Light, divine light, gives life. And it also, through the illumination of the gospel, leads to the new birth, abundant life, life to the full, eternal life. Light, through divine illumination in the Word of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, reveals what was hidden by darkness. And that, isn't that the work of the rulers of the darkness of this world, all those spiritual agents that we cannot see, alongside Satan, keeping us in the power of darkness, walking in darkness? But that darkness is broken by the illumination of the truth. That which was hidden is now seen by those of us who believe. And then, of course, light dispels fear. And we have over and over again the word of God, "Fear not, I am with thee." And not only that, divine light, spiritual light also enhances beauty. One hymn writer puts it this way: "Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen." We who are in the light see Jesus in a completely different way to those who physically saw him when he came to earth, those who rejected him, because Isaiah said they would do that. There would be no beauty in him that they would desire him. But how different it is for us, because we can say he is altogether lovely. And that's because of the light of the Lord that we are walking in. But because of this light, the Lord being David's light, he makes a number of discoveries. You know, there was a period of independent reason during the 17th and 18th centuries. It's referred to even today historically as the Enlightenment. And it was a step that was taken away from superstition. And people began to be a wee bit more accepting of scientific experiments, although they didn't always get it right either. So light is connected with discovery. And I think we see that in Psalm 27. David gives us some of his discoveries in this psalm. And although David makes personal discoveries, they are not made completely independently. He is following, I believe, a powerful spotlight that proceeds from God. And in that sense, the Lord is his light. Remember in Luke 15, the parables of the lost things. And one of the parables is about the lost coin. And the woman takes a lamp. She needs help. And she has the assistance of light. As the woman in the parable lit the lamp and followed its beam around her house, something happened. Yes, she found the coin, but she would also see more than the coin. She would see the dust. Remember, she had to sweep. She would realize the trouble with all of the procrastination over the weeks and days that had passed regarding those household chores. And that's the thing about light. It doesn't just highlight the thing we're looking for, but many of the things we would rather not see. And that presents a question to us. Are we ready to come to the light? Because we're going to make discoveries. And David discovers things about himself. You know, people often talk about going on a voyage of self-discovery. For many, it isn't the path that they have chosen because it's a good idea. No. For many, it has been a challenging experience that has resulted in their making personal discoveries, whether they were good or bad. Nothing will tell you more about yourself than your experiences. David describes an experience, the experience that prompts him to write this psalm, as the time of trouble, verse 5. Now, for many, the year 2020 has been a year of trouble, a time of trouble. And most of the troubles are not virus related. They're troubles that would have come anyhow. But I'm sure they have been made worse by the effects of government restrictions. Are you experiencing a time of trouble? You know, that's not something that's alien to life as it's recorded over many centuries in the scriptures. The book of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to get, a time to lose, a time of war, and a time of peace. But David so happens to be writing this psalm in a time of trouble. Well, what have we discovered about ourselves during these times? What has Yahweh Ori, what has the Lord our light shown us as we sought to come closer to him in our time of trouble? I think of some scriptures that show to us that we can expect trouble. James 1 and 12. Blessed, in other words, it's possible for a man to be happy. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, not if, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation or test taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And we can see that Paul there wants the Corinthian believers to discover that in times of trouble, God is faithful. But that testing times are common. John 16 and 33, the words of Jesus, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation or trials, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And there we see that Jesus wants his disciples to know that in times of trouble, which will come, they can know his peace. On Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered away, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Peter reminds his readers that times of trouble can result in deeper strength and a deeper assurance of faith, because it's permitted by a gracious God. Times of trouble can become times of discovery, when the Lord our light illuminates our darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So how are we using that light? What's it doing for us? What discoveries are we making? Well, what are some of David's discoveries? Well, he discovered that in time of trouble, it made him face his fears. In a time of trouble, David was forced to face his fears. What should David be afraid of? Well, he tells us, the wicked, his enemies, plural, a host encamped surrounding him, war, trouble. What a list. And there's pretty much every reason for David to fear, for anyone to fear. Now, he can be controlled by fear, or he can look at fear in a new light. And that's why he asks the question in the first verse, whom shall I fear? If the Lord is my light, whom shall I fear? If the Lord is illuminating my darkness and showing me things, making me discover things, then whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? There we have it doubly emphasized. What does the presence of Yahweh Ori do for David's fear? Well, he is in the middle of a nightmare. I don't know if you can recall having a nightmare, especially as a child, because you can have a nightmare at any age. But I think back of nightmares as a child, and for some reason one sticks out in my mind that I felt that there was an arm reaching up from the bottom of the bed to pull my feet, and I just woke up with the total horror of the situation and let out a scream. And of course you're surrounded by darkness and everything continues. You pull your legs up the bed because you're still convinced that there's something there, until your mum or dad appears and the light's switched on and suddenly everything's okay. David's in a nightmare. But the light of the Lord makes a huge difference. And he's able to discover things. He's able to discover, look, I needn't fear. God is telling me I needn't fear. It's a discovery he's making. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, verse 3, of this will I be confident, or in this I can still be confident. And then verse 5, twice we have it emphasized, he shall hide me, he shall hide me. Why should I fear? Why should I fear? Twice emphasized, he shall hide me, he shall hide me. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. Suddenly it's all about he, his. David's confidence is in the Lord, who is not only his light, but his salvation. Notice verse 5 isn't about immediate salvation, in other words, being totally delivered out of the time of trouble. No, it's about being saved in the time of trouble, sheltered, hidden, protected by the Lord. Even though a host of his enemies appear to surround him. For in the day of trouble, the Lord, who is his light, will conceal him in his tent. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide David, and also place him on a rock. And David is visualizing this picture of being enclosed in a tent. It has been pitched by the Lord. David is welcome there. He can find sanctuary there. As we would use the term today, it's a safe house. But not only that, David will be concealed there in the inner part of the tent. Not only that, David's enemies won't be able to burrow underneath the tent and get at him, because the Lord has positioned him on a rock. Not only that, but to get to David, his enemies are going to have to pass the Lord first, because it's the Lord's tent. What security. That's the picture that's being painted. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about being given the unwanted gift, the thorn in the flesh. He prayed in protracted seasons, at least three, where that the Lord would take it away from him. And the Lord said, no, this is for your ultimate good. So Paul then concludes, well, I would rather endure this particular thorn in the flesh, knowing that the power of Christ will rest on me. You know that word means tabernacle, enclose him like a tent. He said, I'd rather know the difficulty and with it the power of God than to have no difficulties and never experience the power of God. What a discovery Paul made. So David can say in Psalm 27:3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. In this will I be confident, he shall hide me. So David has made a discovery about himself during his troubling experience. He can face his fears. How? With confidence. But to fully understand that, we need to read the bit we missed out, and that was verse 4. We jumped from verse 3 to verse 5, but here's verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me. So David's made another discovery about himself during his troubling experience, and that is his sense of priority. One thing. That speaks of priority. We find that from the pen of Paul, Philippians 3, from verse 13. Brethren, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a sense of priority in running the race for the Lord. Oh, he could have continued to dwell forever endlessly on all the things from his past, those things which were behind. But that would only limit him and hinder him. He wants to forget about those. And he prioritizes. He is focused completely on the prize. Jesus used the phrase also when trying to get some of his religious hearers to see past their hypocrisy. An example is the rich young ruler. Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. Also, when the religious hypocrites were questioning him about his right to heal on the Sabbath day, he says, I will ask you one thing. How often we go off in tangents and get into all kinds of tangles of arguments. We overcomplicate things and fail then to find a way through. David discovers in his time of trouble that he's able to narrow things down to one thing. What is that one thing? What has prioritizing caused him to focus on? One thing I have desired, his heart. There's one thing there I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And really, the one desire is to be in a good place with God. Are we in a good place with God? What was that good place like for David? To abide in the near presence of God, verse 4. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord, verse 4. To be filled with the knowledge of God, verse 4. Being in a near place with the Lord is David's priority. And the time of trouble has pushed him in that direction. This is where David's confidence is coming from at the end of verse 3. He has a genuine desire to please the Lord. He's determined to go to God first. So, under the light of the Lord, David has discovered that times of trouble make him face his fears, and that times of trouble help him prioritize. Another discovery that David makes is that it's possible to experience joy in spite of experiencing trouble. Verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. There's a lot of determination there. I will, I will, I will. Why? Because my head has been lifted up. The enemies are still there. It's like the table spread in Psalm 23 in the presence of mine enemies. Well, here we find David enabled to lift up his head. How unnatural that is. With a threat there, close by, all around him, surrounding him, ambushing him. We would normally have her heads down. He should have his head down. It would be the natural thing. But his head is lifted up. One way of looking at this is that David can rejoice in a future hope of actual military victory. And he can do that even before it happens. That's an act of faith. Or perhaps it's suggesting to us that he can rejoice because he has gained the mental victory over the oppression that his enemies would place upon him. What a discovery to make. He has already said he won't be afraid, even if those hosts of enemies were to surround him in camps. But the absence of fear that he's already mentioned is also matched with the presence of joy, and its shouts of joy that are described at the end of verse 6. O living in the light of the Lord our light, Yahweh Ore, is certainly an enlightening experience. David has discovered that times of trouble make him face his fears, and that times of trouble help him to prioritize, but also that even in times of trouble, he can sing for joy. Another discovery that David makes as he passes through this time of trouble is the importance of his reactions. David's reactions spoke volumes about him. Our reactions will do the same about us. You know, David's enemies' attacks on him were their business before God. But David's reaction to his enemies' attacks on him were his business before God. Here's a wonderful reaction. Verses 7 and 8 talk about him going to God. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. He argues, Lord, you've told me to seek your face. That's what I'm going to do. He's going to obey the Lord, even though it's going to be hard in times of trouble. What a good reaction. He could have become bitter. He could have blamed God. He could have withdrawn himself from his service in the ordained office that God had given him. But he says, I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to seek you in prayer. I'm also going to seek your guidance. That's another good reaction, isn't it? I'm not going to be dizzy by my over-analyzing of things and by running to this one and that one and almost milking it by complaining to everybody I meet and offloading to all that I can find about the misery that I'm in. I'm going to go to you, God. I'm going to seek your guidance. I'm going to consult with you. Teach me thy way, O Lord, verse 11. Lead me in a plain path. He also makes discoveries about his own impatience. And that can be a negative reaction, can't it? And you can see verse 14 there, that it's something that's in his mind. Wait. Wait. It isn't easy to wait, is it? I remember applying to Bible college. And you've heard this in my testimony before. And then it got closer and closer to the beginning of term, and all I could find during that summer were verses I didn't want to see. And the verses were, wait, wait, wait. So by term time, September, October, that was all I had, and I had to just put aside that idea. Do you know, the following January was when my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's and dementia. And I just know that would have been worse for all concerned if I had headed off to Bible college. But the next 8 years were to be a training ground and a training in patience. There's a lot of impatience around. And there's a danger with impatience. Look at the lives of Abraham, Sarah, and Ishmael being produced. What a disaster that resulted from Abraham's impatience. Long-suffering is fruit of the Spirit. Patience under pressure, because we're often pressured to act, to move, to change, to react. It's not easy to wait, is it? But if we do, we'll discover He will strengthen our heart. You know, David has made many discoveries as he walks in the light of the Lord who is his light. But he's made wonderful discoveries about that Lord as well. Verse 1, you're also my salvation. We've already mentioned verse 5, you will hide me, you will enclose me with your presence. The end of verse 5, you'll set me on a rock. Not only will you protect and fortify me, but you will steady me. You'll lift up my head, you will give me courage and strength. You will never forsake me, though father and mother do. The Lord will take me up. Verse 10. You will always be good to me. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 13. Times of trouble come. And maybe for somebody listening to this, they're here. What discoveries have you made about yourself? Have you had to face your fears? Maybe you haven't yet prioritized. Maybe you haven't yet been able to sing for joy. Maybe you have reacted, perhaps not well. Have you discovered what David discovered about the Lord? That if you walk in His light, you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts. For His name's sake.